Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. What's up? Episode 63. That's right, 63. Off the top, as always, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening to my podcast. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, share it, do something to help your boy out. Shout out to people who bought shirts. Again, I got a few more left, and I will post that link in the comments or in the episode description. I'm early this week. I gotta get back to being consistent. So here I am, Tuesday evening, 6:15-ish. I'm recording the podcast. I had a good weekend. Good weekend. I was given the opportunity to somewhat open for Carlos Mencia this past weekend at the Arlington Draft House and Cinema. I was on Friday and Saturday night, and it was a lot of fun. I'm getting some flack from people, but damn it, I had a great time. He was very nice to me. He bought drinks. He bought food. So I had a good time. And first and foremost, I was able to. Well, first and foremost, I had great sets, which is good. And I was able to go into a different city at one of the best clubs in the country that huge comics seem to love. And I see why now. And I was able to showcase in front of bookers/GMs. And they really like my stuff. So hopefully that will give me some work in the future. So it's like, I get it. I understand the guy's past. I know the rumors and the story of the joke stealing, but that does not represent me at all. I am in no position to turn down that opportunity because of some, I guess, political reasons, you know, but comedy politics. So I know some of it was ball busting. You got some people who were serious, but for comics who were serious, you know, what were you doing that weekend? You know, I got to perform in front of almost 1,000 people in two shows, you know, two sold out shows, and I had a good time. I got to see some friends up in D.C. I got to meet some new comics, got to network, and hit a couple shows. So I'm not going to apologize for that. D.C. is great, man. I really like D.C. a lot. The traffic is fucking insane. So I go Friday. I don't stay up there Friday. It's just way too expensive, so I just drive back home. So Friday, do the show. Great show. Hang out with my boy Greg Stevens. We hit a diner afterwards, and I'm driving home. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I see another car coming northbound on 29, and I see the headlights dip a couple times. They're off into the median in the grass. I'm slowing down because I'm like, I hope this dude isn't sleeping. They just come wandering over into the southbound traffic and fucking kill me. But they got control of the car, swerved back onto the highway, spun out, and just sat facing south on the northbound lane. So I think they finally turned it around and got to where they were going. Hopefully they're okay, and they were just tired and they weren't drunk. And I hope they got home safely, man. But that was kind of scary. I was afraid of falling asleep myself, but I was cool. Especially after seeing that, that shit really got my heart going and made me way more alert on my trip home. So we headed back up on Saturday. So I took the family with me. Yosh, Bosh, and the wife. We go up, got a nice hotel, great hotel, the Fairmont, Washington, and Georgetown. Dope hotel, everybody. Super dope. Classy. Great rooms. A little pricey, but I got a good deal. Got a good deal on the room. Miles loves hotels. I love hotels. But, bruh. D.C., again, expensive. when I was doing some hotel research, I'm looking like, okay, $18 to park, $21 a park. Okay, that's not too bad. Pricey, but not too bad. So I wake up Sunday morning. These motherfuckers done slid the valet bill under the door. $48. $48 to park my car overnight. At that point, and that's still at this point, after filling up again, I've literally spent $12, $11, and then $15. So that's what, almost $40 on gas, and I have my car for almost a month. I spent more in one night parking my car than I have putting gas in it for almost a month. Insane. Insane. But well worth it. We were going to go check out some monuments. We didn't really have enough time. I mean, once we got to the hotel, I mean, there was traffic everywhere. They parked my car, and I was like, I tried to get an Uber and a taxi with a car seat. Couldn't find one, so we didn't make it down to the National Mall to see any of that kind of stuff. But we did walk around Georgetown, ate at a really cool little restaurant called Bayou Cajun Food. I had the chicken tender po' boy, very good. Miles messed over some macaroni and cheese, as usual, $7, but who's keeping count? And Bot got some fried chicken and some collard greens. Looked really good. And then, so then my show was at 10, and there's a really hot show in D.C. called Big Hunt, ran by this dude, Sean Joyce. And I go over there because there's a guy, Joe List, who is the co-host of Tuesdays with Stories that I mentioned before. And I met Joe years ago when he was opening up for Tommy Jonigan. So I was like, oh, let me go over there, talk to Joe. Chop it up with him, try to get him to come down to Charlottesville. So I hit up Mark Norman. I'm name dropping this week, am I? Mark was like, cool, I'll let him know you're coming. I get there, pretty much as soon as I get there, Joe shows up, talk to him for a while. We're working out a schedule so him and Tom Dustin can come down and kill the show here in Charlottesville. He was super dope, so shout out to Joe List and Sarah Tolomash for hanging out with me before my show. Shout out to Sean Joyce for running a dope-ass show down there at the Big Hunt, man. That's a really cool little hot room, low ceilings, people packed in, people buying beers. I mean, it's a buzz going. It's just a really cool room, man. Really cool. Hopefully one day I can work that room. But so I get over to my show. Packed. Has nothing to do with me. Carlos Mencia has been doing this for years. Packed house. Open the show, great set, bring up Gene Harding, great set, Cisco goes up, kills it, then Carlos goes up, and the second show, he usually does like hour and a half, 2 hours, I think he did 205, he kills it, we all hang out after the show, but before the end of that show, I go back out, and at the Arlington Draft House, they have a small bar up front, and that's called the Green Room. And they also do a show out there ran by Ramin. And so I was actually able to get on through the grace of Greg Stevens giving me his spot. Thank you, Greg, for giving me your spot. He didn't have to do that. So I go out there. I do that mic, too. I had another good set, man. So it was fun to hit up two shows in the same building, same night, two great sets. We all hang out, have a couple of drinks to see my boy Donnie Sangstack, Ray Easter. I meet Andy Klein, Max Rosenblum. Bloom. And a bunch of other comics, man. We just have a good time, man. There is nothing like hanging out with other comics, you know. Everybody's just kind of hanging out in the hallway, having a couple of drinks. Shout out to Petey Steele, too. I met Petey Steele. And people just laughing and busting balls and you know, just having fun, man. It's nothing like hanging out with other comics, man. Nothing like it. It's just so much fun. It's a great scene they have up there in D.C. So I think this past weekend was very productive. I got to meet some people. Some people got to see what I can do. And it was just an overall great experience. My family had a good time. We took Miles down to the pool Sunday morning. He had fun. Then we drove back home. With all that driving, I went from D.C. home twice. Got home, went to Sam's, grocery shopped, came back, still had like 40 miles to go in the tank. Fill it up, $15. You can't beat that. $15. If I had to max them, I probably would have had to fill up twice. And that would have been probably at least 25 apiece. I might have had to fill up. Yeah, I would say at least twice. So I saved myself at least $35. And I think that's being somewhat generous. I would say between closer to $40 to $50, I saved myself having the Prius. So you can talk shit if you want to. That little thing is a beast, and I love it. Sorry, this isn't as controversial as usual. Now that I'm actually doing more stuff, I can just kind of give you a recap of how my weekend went and what it's like, you know, kind of behind the scenes of a up-and-coming, struggling comedian's life and the shit that we do, you know, for some stage time. I saw a news story that was actually pretty fucking cool. How should I start this? You know, I guess this will work. You know how, like, people always say, you always see these shootings and stuff in gun-free zones, and that's a problem. We have these gun-free zones. And I just realized something, too. You only see these people protesting with guns in gun-free zones, you know? You never see people take their guns to protest to somewhere where they already have guns. Until recently in Dallas, where you had this this coalition, if you want to call them that, or a group of people, some activists. And they're basically anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. And what they do is they pick up their arms, you know, they strap up, they get all their tactical gear and radios and earpieces and fucking 5.11 pants and their M4s and their red dot scopes and their AKs and their boots and all that shit. And they just stand out in front of mosques just intimidating people. But guess what? Not last week in Dallas. They were met by three different groups, one being the New Black Panther Party, the Huey P. Newton Gun Group, and the Nation of Islam, and they were armed. And guess what? These pussies decided they didn't want to do it. Isn't that funny? They're met with some opposition, and they decided to quit. About time somebody stood up to these people. And one guy they interviewed, he's like, they're not going to come. Actually, it was a woman. They're not going to come down here intimidating people. They want to show up with guns. We'll show up with our guns. And this is what has become, people. This is the beginning of the kitty tit for tat shit. This is how it all starts. And we all know if something happened, who would be blamed for it? Even though they instigated the entire thing. But when you say, well, they started that, that's when we're childish. You know, certain people in this country, they can go around carrying guns, intimidating people, and it's never their fault. It's just, hey, other people need to control themselves. They need to learn how to react the right way to being provoked. That's the thing. People nowadays, you know, I hate saying that. I hate when people say that. I'm not going to say that. I'll take that back, people nowadays. People love to provoke other people. And then when they get their fucking heads knocked off, they want to be the victims. They get punched in the mouth all of a sudden. All I did was this. That's what you get. That's exactly what you get, you know? You say it when somebody gets beat up by a cop. That's what you get. You should learn to stop fucking with cops. Well, these people learned that day. You're not going to come down there intimidating our churchgoers, our mosque goers, or whatever you want to call them, our parishioners, congregation. You're not going to do it. So shout out to those people for picking up their arms, exercising their Second Amendment right, and defending themselves, fighting fire with fire. And you saw what happened. They backed down. That made me feel good. I saw this. I don't know how old this video is, but I don't even know this dude's name. But a friend of mine sent me this video of this this white dude, and I guess he's one of these white guys' personalities on YouTube that he has a black following because, you know, he'll call out, you know, white racism, and he seems like he might know something about black culture. But this is some shit that I kind of hate. And I will admit, I didn't finish watching the entire thing. I kind of forgot. But this dude's basically saying, like, black people, how we'll kill each other over, you know, stepping on your sneakers. Just over the dumbest shit, we'll kill each other. But when white people do shit to us, we don't do nothing. And first of all, I don't like the fact that he tries to make it seem like every black person is this berserker killer who, if you scuff my shoe, then you're just dead. It's not the fact. That's a very, very small group of people that do that or kill somebody for a pair of shoes. Very, very small group of people. A specific demographic of people. And all that demographic, again, a very, very small portion of that demographic. But it happens everywhere. All different ethnic groups. This thing is popping. I don't know if you guys can hear that. And then he goes on to talk about how black people were talking about boycotting Black Friday. So I'm guessing this happened around the fall of last year. And he was saying how, like, that's not going to do shit, boycotting Black Friday, which I agree with. But then he goes on to say, instead of us boycotting these companies that really don't care, what we need to be doing is boycotting athletes such as Floyd Mayweather, you know, the LeBron Jameses, the Kobe Bryants. That's what we need to do. He's like, if black people want to be heard, that's what we need to do. We need to band together and start boycotting these athletes that aren't giving back to the community. And why aren't athletes quitting their jobs until things get done? It's just like, why is it people will scream up and down, especially Republicans, like, that we need to earn our own, and black people need to stop trying to get people to pay their way. No one owes us anything. But then we'll turn around and try to act like athletes owe us something. Floyd Mayweather don't owe black people shit. Kobe Bryant doesn't owe black people shit. Jay-Z doesn't owe anybody anything, or Beyonce. He talked about them too. What are they doing for the black community? They earn that money. Why is it on the responsibility of athletes and rappers to give all their money to black people? Why? Ask yourself, what do white celebrities do for white people? No one puts that pressure on them. I mean, yeah, we should help out our own people, but it's just like boycotting Floyd Mayweather fights. You think that's really going to make him give money to a school? It's not. That's stupid. I mean, theoretically, or in a perfect world, that would be dope if he had all these black millionaire athletes got together and they did something with their money. But, I mean, it's a pipe dream. I swear, man, niggas love shit like that. I can't call it a conspiracy, but like this, I don't even know what kind of thinking you call it, but it's just silly. It's just silly. None of those guys owe us anything. They don't owe us anything, man. The only thing they owe it to their families to be the best person that they can be. And if you want to donate money to a school or you know, give scholarships to young black kids, that's great. But they don't owe us a dime. That shit starts within your own home, within you. You know, this dude getting people riled up and asking, like, what's Kobe Bryant doing? What the fuck are you doing? People are like, yeah, what is Kobe doing? What is Jay-Z don't give shit? What do you give? Ask yourself before you start asking of others to give because they have a lot. Ask yourself, what are you doing? What are you doing for black people? It's so hypocritical, man. I hate that shit. Like, I see somebody on this comic on Facebook. I don't even know who this person is, but every other post is Bible verses. You know, I'm blessed. Jesus did that. Then you watch this stand-up and this nigga this, bitch pussy that. It's just like, are you serious right now? You do all this praising Jesus, hallelujah stuff, and then you watch a comedy and it's so fucking disgustingly just ghetto and terrible. The fuck out of here with that shit, man. Awful. And before I forget, because I'm running my time, this week's milestone is, I think I really had to kind of punish Miles for the first time. You know, last night he was hanging out in this playroom chilling. And I go over there, and he's, you know, playing with his letters and watching Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. I'm like, hey, can I play? And he's pretty much like, nope. So I'm like, I'll just hang out. And I grabbed a yo-yo, and he kind of lost it. He was like, hey, that's my yo-yo. I'm like, look, man, you're not even using it. You got your letters. You got the iPad. Let Daddy have the yo-yo. This little dude picks up the iPad and just slams it on the little table. So I took it, and he lost it for about 20, 30 minutes. I had to sit him in the room, and he was not allowed to watch the iPad for the rest of the night. And I really wanted to give in, but I know I can't, man. I can't give in. And it's weird. I can't yell at him either. I feel so bad for yelling at him. I can't do it. I'm just afraid, like, this is like the moment I yell, that's when his brain is gonna start recording everything. And then his first memory is of me just yelling because he is being a jerk about the iPad. And I'm so afraid of that. So, but once I feel like, okay, he's starting to really develop some memories that he will recall, you know, in a couple years, that's when it's game on. He's going to get it. But that's the show. There's a show. Wait, there's a show. That's a show. I'm messing up my own outro. There's a show. That's a show. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks. Peace out.